But are we ever really that? Are we ever really that ready for this show? I'm not, you know.
No.
Debatable.
The hair is like.
I think they know by now.
Is this thing on?
I don't think it's any secret that our look, I think we've definitely gotten better over time. I went back, had a bit of a nostalgia trip the other night, just looking at the YouTube, and that's only like 4 years ago. There's a lot of content on YouTube, by the way. That's a lot of content for.
Do we have to pay to put our content there, or no?
No, it's free for YouTube.
Okay.
YouTube's free, but yeah, there's a lot there. Right? Then you go back and watch the show. It used to be a free for all. That's like clusterfucks of yelling and screaming. It's like, oh, and Jeffrey called everyone assholes every 5 seconds. It's like, yeah. Nothing strange. Nothing. There's just a little bit more.
That's what I was gonna say,
yeah. It's just it was things got real weird back in the day. We went on some tangents. Not that it doesn't get weird now. Hi, we should probably say what we're doing. Welcome to UCR Live, folks. We are here. It's only three of us, but you know what? Three of the best, I think. We're here.
The tripod.
They've all got opinions. Let's just put it that way. And on this show, that's what we like. We like opinions. We like your opinion. So if you have an opinion on something, please let us know. But let's not even bury the lead. Finally, kids, we made it to over 600 subscribers. Now, everyone's like, that's ridiculous. The show's been on blah, blah, blah. So let's just refresh. The baby of Uncensored Radio that you see now did start, what?
11?
A long time ago, yeah.
11 years ago?
A long time ago. Wow. Yeah. As a radio show.
Yeah,
a digital. Remember when digital radio was new, kids, and everyone was doing digital radio.
Yep.
Jeff, Katrina, Aaron, Michael, they were all doing it 5 nights a week, multiple shows. They were burning down switchboards. Then they went away. They came back as a podcast. Yeah, then they came back as a podcast, and then we became this visual medium that you see before us. So yes, there are a lot of shows on YouTube, but if you want to go the length and breadth of the show, you can literally go back to the first shows and listen to them, because people have been too. The listenership has actually risen. So if you want to hear like old school Uncensored Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn, or anywhere that podcasts are streamed, because there are lots of like. We're talking thousands. Oh, nearly 2,000 shows. I looked at it. I'm like,
wow.
Between, different spin-offs and all that kind of stuff. Celebrity interviews. Yeah, I know. As I said to the group chat the other day, Tim's been here for over a year.
Yeah.
Like, I know. I couldn't believe it.
Where did that time go?
Yeah, right?
Where did that time go?
Fast year.
I mean, that time he's like got half a new body.
He's bionic.
Yeah. New eyes, new kidney.
It's just crazy. Okay,
Chris, forget it.
Everything. Miss Christina, how are you, my love?
I'm still hanging by a thread, man. I really am. Being home with the kids is brutal. It is brutal. But especially because it's spring break here this week. So I had my nieces on Tuesday and Wednesday, and, you know, plus my other two kids. And now my son goes back and forth to school on Thursdays and Fridays. And it's just been crazy. And I finally, after 2.5 years, got my son's hair cut yesterday.
I saw it.
So cute. But I can't.
He is so cute.
I can't grasp, like, that he has no hair now. Like, I used to, like, pet the back of his head and like, you know, grab his hair. And like, yeah, it was just like a thing like that I would do when he would sit on my lap or, you know, anything. And now I can't do that. And I'm like, I miss it so much. The second I put him in the car seat after we got out of the like hair cutter, I was like, I started to cry. I'm like, why did I cut it? I shouldn't have cut it. I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Like, it was such a bad idea. But like, my mom literally was like on my ass about getting his hair cut because I don't fucking know why, because it was getting too long and whatever. Like, I'm sorry. I still think he looked fucking adorable with his long hair. I wish I had a picture for you guys, but I don't have anything.
I've seen him on Facebook. He is adorable.
Oh my god, he is the cutest little fucking boy ever in life. He's got the biggest lips and the cutest little eyes, and oh.
But isn't it until you cut their hair that you realize how old kids look?
Yeah,
when
looks, that's looking
so old.
The minute you cut the first hair,
they don't look like babies anymore when they get that haircut. You're like,
no,
yeah, it's kind of like a glimpse into the future. You're like,
and then before you know what, he's gonna be in school.
Oh no. Teenagers.
Pushing me out.
High school.
Fuck off, mom.
I'm sure that that's why I was crying, you know, because it was like realizing like he isn't, you know, he isn't my sweet little baby boy anymore. Like, he is just like he is such a sweet little baby boy, but I just, oh my god, it hurts so bad because, like, you know, he's autistic, so like he couldn't understand that, like, what we were doing and like why it was happening, and I couldn't explain to him that he was getting a haircut, and you know, he doesn't understand. I'm holding his hands down and my niece is holding his head while this woman is patiently cutting his hair and trying to use the razor and or the buzzer, and I'm like,
oh, poor little
thing. I felt so bad, but he's okay. He got through it. We all got through it.
Yeah, look, Samara makes a good point. Samara makes a good point. Like, it's sometimes, like, I think things have gotten a lot better. Like, if you look at, on TikTok, I see it a lot. It's like, kids that specialize or with, like, autistic kids, like, hairdressers that specialize with autistic kids, and they do such an amazing job doing it at their level and when they're ready and stuff like that. And it's so good for the parents to do, like, it's a job of work. Having an autistic child is not, you know, even in this day and age with as much visibility as there is and awareness and, you know, to help, it's still a job. So for someone else to take that pressure, off, and for you to see somebody else care about your child in that way is really special. Like, I'm not even a parent. It makes me go, you're a good person. Damn. Because back in the day, those kids just would have been naughty. You know, they would have been naughty kids. That's
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, I did my research. I, you know, asked the Facebook groups and whatever, and I was calling around to certain places, and there was this one place that actually specifically does it for autistic kids. But she got hurt. And she goes, she's not going to be here until next Tuesday. I go, there's nobody else that cuts hair there. She goes, no, she's the only one who could do it. I go, okay. So then I called another place and I told her, I said, listen, my son's autistic. I said, I don't know if you deal with that. She goes, yeah, I can handle that. I'm like, all right. And then, like, when I got in there, everything was fine. Like, I don't want to, I gave her a good tip because, again, he was screaming the entire time. But, like, she's like, I'm going to use the buzzer now. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, Daisy, hold his head. Like, you know, I'm like telling my niece to run over and hold his head down. I'm like, because I'm holding his hands. And like, again, like, she really wasn't, I don't want to put her down, but she really wasn't made for the appointment. Like, she really wasn't talking to him.
Yeah. Some people have it and some people don't.
Yeah. She just cut his hair. I basically talked to him through everything else. Like,
you were in mommy mode. Me, okay.
She even handed me like the towel with the powder thing. She's like, here. She's like, this will help you get the hair off. And I'm like, okay. And I've never done that. I've never had a boy. So I like pat his face with it, and it looks like he's got blow all over his fucking face. And I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, so then I start wiping all that off, and then I do like the back of his head. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm like, let's just get the fuck out of here and tip her and go. Like, oh my god.
He's taken after mommy. That's cute.
Yeah. Such a good example.
Oh, dear. My lovely Cheers. V, how has your week been?
Oh, my Lord. It's been an up and down week. I had my great last Thursday night with Bruce Springsteen and my peeps dancing.
Oh, how was it? How was Bruce Springsteen?
Asses off. It was fun. It's always fun. I've seen Bruce Springsteen like almost a dozen times at this point in my life. But we had a good time. And then Saturday night, I was assaulted and ran into a Zionist. And that was
a good time.
Oh, my God. I wasn't going to tell this story on air, but my friend Karen insists that I should tell this story on air. A mutual friend was holding a fundraiser for Genesee School. And Genesee School is the most diverse and the most underprivileged school in town. So we were going to this place called the Lavish Lounge. And we were a little bit late, but our friends were in the other room where the reception was, and they had saved us a place at the booth. And Dee and I were at the bar getting drinks. And this woman is in the, Dee is at the bar and I'm kind of behind her. And there's stools along this way. And this woman in the stool next to me turns around and she says, "I know you, you're Vera Carbohydrate." And I'm thinking, carbohydrate? That's a name I haven't heard since grade school, but is this somebody who would know me from grade school? So I looked at her and I said, "I'm sorry, I don't know you. Can you tell me what your name is?" And she looks really startled. And she doesn't say anything. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't know you. Can you tell me what your name is?" And she says, "It's a joke. It's just a joke." And I said again, "I'm sorry, I don't know you. What is your name?" And she turns around to me and she says, "Vera Carbohydrate." And she grabs my belly and starts moving it around. "It's a joke because you're fat." And I'm like, holy fucking shit.
Do you know this woman?
I do not want to make a scene at Gwen's event, but I'm 60 years old and I'm not putting up with this shit. So I said, "You're being a dick." "It's just a joke." And I said, "Oh, let's see if it's a joke." So I grab her belly and I go, "Is this funny?" She goes, "It's just a joke." And I said, "No, you're being a dick. There's no reason to be a dick. Quit being a fucking dick."
Vera, how are you going to keep that from us?
Oh, man.
I'm at this fundraising event at this place called the Lavish Lounge, and this town drunk, she was smelled of beer and cigarettes and a little BO, like she probably had to walk to the bar because she lost her license. I still don't know her.
How the fuck did she know your name?
Because she was probably on the playground when the bullies were calling me Vera Carbohydrate in second or third grade, you know?
Nobody knew her from there? Like, did anybody around there?
Called her Rose, and somebody else said her name was Rose Carnicelli. But I don't know her.
And that doesn't ring any bells to you?
Not at all. Well, I know Carnicelli.
You got a yearbook?
Auburn's an Italian town, but I didn't know her.
Wow.
Get a yearbook out. I'm gonna look her up. How the fuck do you spell it? Carnicelli?
You've got the fraud expert on it.
Carnicelli.
LLI.
I was two L's, right? Two L's? Yeah. I was gonna say two L's. All right.
I don't fuck with my friends. I'll fuck you up.
What's her stupid phrase? Rose.
I never wanted to punch anybody so badly in my whole entire fucking life.
Oh, you should have.
I did say dick like 17 times.
This is a fundraiser for a school. Right. It's like bullying going on.
Right. Oh my God.
I think she was just a bar fly who had left the bar yet when the event began, you know?
Wow.
Oh man, I would have lost my fucking mind.
I love that you.
And Dee is right over there. You know, Gwen is my friend. She's throwing the fundraiser. I don't want to make a scene.
Dee was next to you, wasn't she?
Was there, and she's a politician, so I don't want to piss off my sister by making a scene. But
oh man,
what did Dee do?
That's funny.
What did Dee do?
Right.
Dee said, "Go sit down. I'll bring you your drink."
mitigate, like, negates a certain other thing. She's like, done. She's done.
Oh my god.
Mira, yeah, that's the best story I've heard in weeks. Oh,
I would have died. I would have died.
Jeff,
yeah, what the fuck? Oh, no, Jeff, I don't, man.
She's a busy girl.
Of course, if Jeff had heard it, he'd probably be calling me Vera Carbohydrate for the rest of my life.
No, you know what he'd be? You know what he would do? That's when you know something is serious. Girl? If you ever get a phone call or a voice message from Jeffrey Emmett and it starts, bitch, you know, like, this is about to get good. I'm like, I'll sit back and I will enjoy it. Vera,
is it bitch what?
Yeah, bitch what? Bitch what? Bitch what?
Tell me.
Thank you for sharing. But let's jump into the real news, shall we? Although I think that was the real news.
That's enough.
That was some real news.
Yeah. Hot load of hot topics.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's the kind of thing that you would see from social media, right? Big news week, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like the inevitable ban of TikTok is going to happen in the US if the main shareholders, who happen to be from China, do not sell. I was very late to the TikTok thing, but oh my God, what am I going to do without my doom scrolling for hours on end at night time?
Yeah, same. I'm not going to be okay.
Instagram Reels is pretty fucking is pretty good. It's pretty similar to TikTok.
Well, that's where everyone's heading, apparently. Shit.
And everybody, whatever, like, people that you're following on TikTok always have an Instagram, and they always post their TikToks to Instagram as a reel. So I see all the reels or TikToks on Instagram before I even go to TikTok. And then I'm watching the same videos on TikTok, and I'm like, okay.
But I think it's important. Like, that's what you've got to do these days, because it's happened to us before. When you get a ban or a shadow ban or something on one of the social media platforms, you really rely on the other ones, because this, even though it's not a multi-million-dollar bloody business, this thing has to keep ticking for us to keep momentum going. We have to keep doing shows. Like, we can't not do it. Even when we had that Facebook ban for like 2 months, we had to keep the show going. We couldn't go live on Facebook, but we could go live everywhere else, and that really actually helped us with numbers elsewhere. But I think people underestimate how much we rely on TikTok in this day and age. I mean, Christina, you wouldn't be on the show.
Yeah,
I know. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't be part of this. You would be part of this dysfunctional family that you have been now.
What would
like
I be doing right now?
I'd
be sleeping on my couch.
You'd be like, God damn it. Thursday night again, damn it. But, you know, it's nice to have the Thursday night vent session. This is what we do on Thursday.
My therapy.
Our weekly therapy, yes.
Our weekly universal therapy. Friends from across the country and across the world getting together to detox and discuss the world. But I think, I as I said, I was so late to the TikTok thing, but because I had Instagram, but I was never really an Instagram person. I don't know why. It looks like it's definitely going to happen. They just have to wait for it to be, you know, passed in. So,
well, I can't think of his name. God, my memory's getting bad. The CEO of TikTok America, who's based in California, has said a couple of different places that he plans to file some lawsuits in court, which is what happened last time they threatened to do this, and they did back off. And somebody else, V, I don't know if anybody else follows V under the desk news, said that this piece of legislation isn't as well crafted as the last piece of legislation, so it has lots of loopholes in it. But
isn't the inevitability thing comes, isn't it buried in some other bill?
No.
That it's part of? It's, no. I read
actually,
something that
it was originally, before this last week, it was buried in some other legislation. But Mike Johnson, our Republican Speaker of the House has just had a sudden need to get things done instead of languishing in the state of limbo that the Republican Congress has been languishing in and not getting anything accomplished except attempting to impeach people without any criminal evidence, decided that he was going to bring these four bills to the floor. They were aid for Ukraine, they were aid for Israel, they were aid for Taiwan, and they were banned TikTok. There were four bills, and they were remarkably simple and all independent, according to my sources. I mean, I didn't read them, but that's what I have heard. And they all passed. And Joe Biden has agreed that if it goes through Senate, which it's most likely going to do, that they will all be signed.
So what does that mean? Does like the app just like delete it from my phone? Like, am I just not allowed to open it anymore?
It will not function in the US anymore, is my understanding. It will be removed from like the app stores, and it will not function anymore.
Yeah.
But if I have it, I can't, like, is it not going to open?
No. I don't think you'll lose your content. It'll break. If you have content up somewhere, it will.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll be gone. And it's the nature of the beast, really. Like, we look at TikTok, we think of all these TikToks that come and go and come and go and come and go. But there's something that we didn't talk about, and only because there's been so much else going on. But for people, for a pop culture podcast, I think we are remiss if we don't mention the death of a TikTok star that happened recently, Kyle Melissa Roth. Now, if you don't know her, she was big in Celebrity Gossip. She used to do the, you want more? I'll tell you more. She was that girl, the gossip girl kind of thing. Yep. Now, there's a lot of drama going on behind the scenes because her TikTok account was banned because of Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, really?
Actively affected her financing. What people didn't know is that Kyle had, and obviously succumbed to bowel cancer, and the ban of her account affected her earnings so much that she couldn't go and seek treatment for.
Oh, wow.
So this all comes from her comments on Jennifer Lopez and the This Is Me Now stuff, so which is apparently an app-wide thing. Like, they've been hunting down people that have been saying negative things about that whole project and censoring their content, but also banning accounts.
Wow.
So,
well, you know, you got to look at the way your FYP bounces around. That matrix is definitely being manipulated in some way. You know, people disappear out of your FYP. People that you've followed stop popping up in your FYP, and they're not popping up in your follow. But if you go to their page, they've got like weeks of content that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, well, it's just TikTok. But it's not, because this woman who made her livelihood from it is now no longer alive.
Right.
Because of actions directly related to this app that we all use.
You know that Facebook is listening to you. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
That you know that your friend list from Facebook is evaporated and you only see 5 people anymore and 25 ads every, you know? You know that your
social media, I do like some of those ads,
is being manipulated. And that's why I can't understand all this fallout against TikTok, because guess what? We've proven that Facebook and Twitter both were involved in manipulating the 2016 and the 2020 election. There is receipts that are paid in ruples at Facebook because Russian sources bought ads to further, misinformation.
You go, Christina.
No, like, that's another thing I was thinking about. Like, people make money off this app. And, like, there's this woman who was just on, I think, the Drew Barrymore show, like, aggressive cooking tutorials.
I love her.
Cooking, I don't know.
Yeah,
she's amazing, right? like, what's she gonna do? Like, you know, are they gonna make Instagram like monetary? Like, if you get a certain amount of followers and you get a certain amount of views, likes, right. all that shit. Like, Facebook doesn't do that. Instagram doesn't do that. Twitter doesn't pay you. Like,
we are back in YouTube, the good. We are back in Facebook's graces, though. We are back. They're saying that we are on suggestion lists now. I got a thing saying, "Oh, we're back. We're back. We've done some good. We've done something okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like exactly. Like, look, think about people. But even people that started out, like, yes, there are people that make money off TikTok. We made some money off TikTok for a hot minute there, which it wasn't a great amount of money, but it went towards this and making the show cost neutral, and, you know, us being able to afford microphones and all that kind of stuff. But you've got to think of people like Mama Tot, who started out not it wasn't about business. It was about a way for them to put their point of view and stuff into the universe and hopefully, you know, make things a little bit better. These people are all going to lose their... I guess it's kind of like when Vine went away and we lost all those Vine stars, you know? Like, it's going to be that moment of who survives the changeover. And
but don't you think someone's going to invent an app striking...
Well, they tried it with Threads, right? I never did Threads.
CapCut, too.
Yeah.
They have CapCut, too. Like, my niece uses that.
We'll see, but I'm going to be doom scrolling until I can't doom scroll no more because it's my everyday life now.
Same here.
It's like crack. I always thought I never had an addictive personality. I thought I didn't have an addictive personality, but then, you know. Well,
it's designed to.
I 100% do.
It's designed to trigger dopamine. It's designed to create that addiction.
The other night, my daughter wanted to watch tornado videos. I don't fucking know why. I don't understand it. Whatever. She goes, I want to see a video of a tornado. Instead of going to Google or to YouTube, I went to TikTok. I typed in tornado, and we watched a shit ton of fucking videos just scrolling of tornadoes destroying houses, and she got a kick out of it. And I thought to myself, I really wouldn't be able to do this. Like, just quick swipe up. On YouTube, because it's got a load, and it's got, like, it's not, nothing else is like that. Like, Instagram, I don't know if I could do that. Go to Instagram, type in tornadoes and all these videos. I don't know that.
God. Remember back in the day when we didn't have any of this, and you had to go to, like, the library and watch it on a CD-ROM?
You had to walk 20 miles to the library in 5 feet of snow, uphill, all the way,
with piss in my boots. We are becoming those people now because these kids just don't like it. It's this far away. Like, whatever they want is that far away. The information
it's
is
right there.
So I don't get how they could ever complain about schoolwork. They can't ever complain about schoolwork and not being able to do it. I'm like, bitch, there are AI programs that'll write anything for you. You can't complain about not being able to do it. The world is built for lazy people these days. Like, it is built for lazy people, and that's how it rolls. Doesn't make things.
My nephew was telling me that there was a professor in law school who suggested they use AI to write papers. Said they
use
AI to write the papers and then rewrite it in your own words.
Oh, come the motherfuck on! I can't.
It was only one professor.
Even.
So when I was in when I was in university/college, there was a big drama because this was early 2000s, not dating myself at all there, that they had just invented this software that would read your, like, you had to put it in and it would tell you how much of the percentage was plagiarized of your article before you submitted it. So you'd have to go and go, reword. It was called Turn It In.
Shit.
And like you had to go through Turn It In before you submitted anything to have it plagiarism checked.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. Now they're encouraging someone else doing your work for you.
I guess
the core idea is yours. I don't know. No. It's an interesting conversation. It's gonna be it's
the world of this will come up in a later
topic, trust me.
My grandparents didn't understand color TV
Yeah, right.
You know,
I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand what happened here. Now, for those of you that can't see the picture, outside of the Trump trial this week, a man,
I believe, self-immolated,
set himself on fire and basically died in front of many, many onlookers and live cameras. Even he,
no, it was Friday. Because I was off
Friday. Yeah, because it happened after the show, didn't it? Yeah, it happened the day after the show.
I actually watched it live.
Yeah.
I had a 2 o'clock appointment. It happened at about 1:35. I had been watching the trial as I was flitting back and forth doing odd shit around my house because, like I said, I had the day off. And all of a sudden, the reporter starts, her eyes start darting left. And she's like, she was talking about the fact that they had just sat two jurors in the last 20 minutes and that the pace of picking jurors seemed to have picked up. And she just, her eyes started darting left and she kept saying, I'm sorry, I have to address something. There's a huge fire to my left. And she's like, it appears that somebody has set themselves on fire. Huge flames. And she's trying to tell the story. She's like, I don't have any cameras in the area. And he's 50 yards away, but someone has set themselves on fire. There's a huge conflagration. People are jumping. He was behind some barriers in the park. She named the park.
Good journalist. Good girl.
She's like, several bystanders have jumped the barriers. I see security guards rushing to the scene. There's a couple of police officers. I hear sirens. I believe EMS is on the way. And all of a sudden, she started to cry. And I'm like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And I had to leave because I had a 2 o'clock appointment. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. But she's probably so nervous.
It happened in real time Friday afternoon.
That's crazy. Some good journalism, though. That's like, we've had, like, I don't know. A journalist's job is never easy. And I think that we take that for granted in the modern time. We go, okay, they're just sitting there reading a script, da-da-da-da. I don't know if you guys had heard or saw the last week's show. We talked about the stabbing at Bondi Westfield that happened. And there was a lot of visibly upset people on camera. Right. And I've read some, like, you know, arguments saying that there shouldn't be emotion when reporting news.
Well,
I'm like, that's hard. That's hard when you're there on the ground, when you're there on the ground watching it happen. Like, I instantly think back to 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to think that too.
And like, just, you know, the people that were on news desks and like in the feet, like, well, they didn't have time to.
Moments. I don't know how much any of you guys remember, but
I remember
very vividly. There were people jumping out of the windows on fire.
Yeah.
You could see them.
On TV. Yeah. On TV. Yeah.
Most of that's been edited, though. You never see that footage anymore.
Yeah.
But in real time, you could see these people jumping. And to be a reporter in that situation and not be emotional. But I always go back to this incident that happened when I was in my 20s. And there used to be a news show on, her name was Linda Ellerby. She had a late night news show. It was just like a 30-minute show where she did news from around the world, not unlike what we do, where she would tell the story and she would take funny takes and, you know, different takes. And she told the story about this Buddhist monk who lit himself on fire. And the police had arrested a news reporter who was in the park and who was filming the Buddhist monk. The news reporter was there at the Buddhist monk's request. The monk had called him up and asked him to be in the park because he wanted to make a statement. And so he was there with a cameraman. He said, we're here with this at the request of this monk. He says he's going to make a statement. And then the guy lit himself on fire.
Mm.
And the reporter froze and he did nothing. And the man was dead in 37 seconds. And the guy was arrested. the reporter for filming it and not intervening. And Linda Ellerbe made this very eloquent speech about the journalist's role to observe and to not judge. And then she said, and sometimes you get caught in the moment and you don't know how to respond. And she said, think what would happen if you did it. Take all the time you want. Take 37 seconds.
Yeah, really.
You know? And it was one of the most poignant things I'd ever heard. And it stuck with me my whole life, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Because why there comes a time. Yeah.
Why did this guy do it?
This guy was, it was conspiracy theory. It was nothing to do with the trial, though.
It didn't have to do with the trial. It was just an opportunity where the news cameras would be, and he could, he had a lot of.
He's a conspiracy theorist, basically.
World corporations and governments and collusion and taking over the planet and, you know.
Someone taking their moment.
But, you know.
Is it crazy? Yeah, who knows?
Crazy, right.
Who knows what's going on in this world today? We're like, oh. Okay, but yeah, it was for it not to be at all politically motivated was a surprise.
Right.
I'm sure Donald was happy for press being on something other than him.
Yeah.
For the day, you know, at the trial, but if he can stay awake, you never know. You never know. Yeah. The things I've been seeing is that he keeps A, falling asleep, and B, farting while he falls asleep.
My brother-in-law started calling him Don Snorleone. Oh,
Donnie. Poor Donnie. He can't help it. There's nothing worse, though, when you are somewhere where you know that you've got to be paying attention and you're like...
Yeah, you're just like...
And your head
fighting to keep your eyes open.
Snap that head.
Snap. I'm like,
dream a little bit of drool.
You keep trying, like, readjust yourself. You're just,
take yourself a little bit. Wake up.
I'm awake.
All the streams, you know.
Right.
So truth is stranger than fiction. Things that we never saw happen, but I saw this happening, especially when I see the photo next to each other. Leonardo DiCaprio's gone for that Oscar again. Leonardo DiCaprio will be playing Frank Sinatra.
He has not won one. That's what
he's gone for that Oscar, mate. He's going for it. So Frank Sinatra biopic with Jennifer Lawrence playing Ava Gardner. Martin Scorsese directed film. Apparently Tina Sinatra is who has been holding this up because she won't grant music rights and stuff like that. So how do you do a Frank Sinatra film without music is the ultimate question. But it'll be interesting to see, I guess. He does, you know, look a little bit like it. It was funny because Tim sent me a message the other day about Ronan Farrow. I'm like, oh, you don't know about Ronan Farrow? Like, it seems to be time for the Ronan Farrow story to pop up again. For those of us that don't know who Ronan Farrow is, do you want to discuss for the people? I'm gonna get a photo.
Ronan Farrow is the son of Mia Farrow and his alleged father Woody Allen.
Alleged.
He is an investigative journalist who started his career investigating serial rapists because of the things that happened to his sister from Woody Allen. And he's won a couple of journalistic awards. He's a deep hitter. He goes deep. Of course, he lives on a trust fund and he doesn't have to make a living, so he can spend 8 years researching a subject. But he's gone. He was very involved in the entire Me Too investigation, crucial in bringing down Harvey Weinstein, though that got overturned yesterday. You know.
Is that what that headline was?
Who is alleged to actually be the son of Frank Sinatra and not Woody Allen.
Because Mia Farrow was in the midst of leaving Woody at one point, but still seeing Frank. For those of you that don't know the juxtaposition of genetics. Let's have a look. Who is this man's father? The one on the left or the one on the right? You tell me.
Well, he does look most like his mom, to be fair.
I don't know, maybe. Those eyes.
A lot like Mia.
Those eyes don't lie. Even
but
the lips.
Those eyes, to have a brown eyed father and a blue eyed son is very rare.
I don't know. That's what I said.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but he's meant to be Woody Allen's son. He's meant to be Woody Allen's son. That's the problem. Mm. It's like the whole OJ situation with Courtney. Chloe.
Courtney.
Yeah. Get the right Kardashian or I'll get sued.
Yeah, Courtney.
But, I was like, baby, that's not your baby,
Chloe,
baby.
You're right.
Baby, that's not your baby, baby. Like, that's very Jerry Springer, right? Who is the father?
Had no filial piety towards Woody when he went after him for molesting his sister.
Like, it's that well known that Ronan Farrow was on RuPaul's Drag Race, like, a couple of weeks ago, saying, "Y'all know I love a paternity test." Like, that was his joke on the panel.
He's never taken one.
No, that's the thing. That's the whole joke of it. It's like a well-known secret. We all have those, you know. All those. Right. Oh, I don't look like my brother because blah, blah, blah. Oh, is that what you think? Come see when you're 18. That's a Trixie Mattel
adopted,
thing. But...
Right? Mia adopted, like, most of her children.
Yeah, but that's her biological child.
That's her biological child.
That doesn't biologically look like anyone else.
Right.
I know who I'd rather be related to. Let's just put it that way.
Frank was no saint.
Oh, no, and he wasn't. And I think that's part of the reason why the Sinatra Corporation haven't granted rights to anyone,
right.
Because they're like, oh, what story are you going to tell? Because we all know Frank knew some people in construction, shall we say.
Well,
what are you talking about?
He wasn't very nice to women either.
He wasn't very nice to women. He wasn't very nice to anyone, really, from what I hear. But my grandmother, you would think Frank walked on water.
Yeah.
He's an Italian girl. She was an Italian girl. Frank walks on water, you know, Frank.
Yeah.
Frank. My Frank,
she's like an angel. Doesn't matter.
My Frank,
oh, Frank
just,
an angel
just her,
Frankie, yeah,
just her, Frank. It was.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I know so much Sinatra is car trips with my grandmother.
But fly me to the moon. And let me play.
Oh no, I've got deeper cuts than that, baby. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play. Yeah, come at me, bro. I'm ready. Speaking of deep musical cuts, it is that time of the year as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their inductees for 2024. Let's see. We're going to go from the bottom because the top one is probably the most controversial. A Tribe Called Quest, Ozzy Osbourne, Kool and the Gang, Peter Frampton, Foreigner, Dave Matthews Band, Mary J. Blige, and Cher will all be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Now, I hope there is some kind of televised something because it was like less than 6 months that Cher on the Kelly Clarkson show said the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame could go fuck themselves because they hadn't even nominated her throughout her career.
Right.
Oh, no.
Do you think she's going to accept this?
Yeah, I do.
It's Cher.
Yeah, it's Cher. She will.
She'll go up there, she'll take the award, and she'll say, "I really thought you were all a bunch of assholes." That's what she said to Letterman. She wouldn't go on a show. She finally goes on a show, and he said, "Why wouldn't you come on my show?" She said, "Because I thought you were an asshole."
She does it, like, well, this happened with Dolly, too. Remember, Dolly refuted her induction. She goes, "I'm not a rock and roll artist. I can't be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if I'm not a rock and roll artist. It doesn't feel genuine."
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of refused her rebuttal, and it went,
so she made a rock
album. I'll go make a rock album. Because, you know, that's what Dolly Parton can do. But to be fair, Cher has done rock albums. Cher's done pop albums. Cher's done Christmas albums. Cher's done everything. And for someone to have the career legacy that that woman has and to not be recognized before now, I think it's pretty shocking. People do not give this woman the credit that she deserves. I honestly believe that. And
I agree.
Look at the history that she has. Like, she's one of the last living links to a very specific time in pop culture and entertainment history.
Oh,
where she's been through the ringers of the music industry. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to just go, wow, she didn't think before now, and because she was a woman on her own,
mm-hmm.
like to that might be worth celebrating, you know?
Apparently. No, Steve, have you lived in
I want to see
you're asking 21st century questions about a 20th century
institution. I love Cher. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that I've seen her. I thought Cher's going to be the one that I don't see. Like, she's going to be the... And then she turned up in my hometown and it couldn't get tickets.
Oh,
and then magically the week of, tickets became available and I was on the floor and I was living my life. Cher. Me and my best friend went... I was like, I got us tickets to Cher. She's like, fuck off. I'm like, no. We're going. This is happening. For some music, holds places in people's hearts.
Yeah,
hearts were sent a fluttering this week for 90s babies because five women were pictured together in the same place at the same time. The Spice Girls reunited in quotes for Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday and captured by David Beckham. I love the Spice Girls. Let me preface this. I love the Spice Girls, have loved the Spice Girls, have actually all of their albums and all of their solo albums. Like, I am a fan. They are the laziest pop stars in the history of the world. They're like, whatever, we'll just do this again. But, mate, you can't deny, it's like, you can't, when the five of them are together, there's something, I think, nostalgia, but the Stealth definitely plays a big part, but they have a magic together. I guess it's kind of like, and this is sad to say, when you saw the cast of Friends together, you're like, that's them.
Right.
Then what happens when someone goes away? Do you know what I mean? Like, there was a little vignette thing of them in the 90s, in the 2000s, in the 2010s, in 2024, like in the 2020s. It's like, they've been around for that long that you're like, I'm old. Like, I'm old, but one day there's going to be one less person in that photo, and then one less person in that photo, and then one less person in that photo. You're like, oh, God, my mortality, not me. I don't want to die. But
oh, my God.
It was nice to see. And, of course, the whole rumors of, you know, Spice Girls reunion are happening again. But we'll see. As I say, they are the laziest pop stars in the world.
Well, Tosh has more money than Gad because her husband's
they're quite well. Well,
figures in the
for a joke band, you know, that a lot of people make them out to be. They wrote a lot of their own music, and that's why they can sit back and go, "Don't want to do that." Got writing credits on Wannabe. Don't have to.
Yeah.
Don't have to. We only did three albums. Sweet, rock and roll. Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. We're gonna. Every time I think we're gonna like, you know, struggle. Here we go. We never do. I have a view from here, which might surprise. I was very surprised by actually. Let's go. So there has been a little bit of drama in Australia recently, all about a comedy show. Now, you ladies might not know. Barker is, but Arj Barker is a Australian comedian, And he caught the IR / attention of the Aussie media for asking a mother who was breastfeeding to leave his show, his live show. Now, I posted it. Jeff sent it to me, and he's like, cool. I'm just going to post an article about it anyway. I'm going to, it's going to be blah, blah, blah. Think of the children. I've been so surprised at the amount of people. I don't think there's been one post on our social media that's like, what a horrible man. Everyone else is like, fuck that kid.
Well, you know.
Wow, a year ago.
Scientists have said for years that humans don't have any inbred instincts. There's nothing instinctual anymore. But then there's always the argument that a crying baby always triggers anxiety, and that's instinctual because you want to protect the herd, you know? But a crying baby puts people on edge. A crying baby changes the dynamics of the room. And if you are in the audience or you are a performer and you hear that crying baby, that's going to distract you totally. You are not going to be able to concentrate on the show. You are not going to be able to perform the show. A crying baby is a huge distraction. And I gotta say, as a performer, it's incredibly hard to perform when there's a baby crying in the audience. Incredibly hard.
Just think about what it's like when you're on a plane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you are stuck somewhere, for want of a better term, you can't switch it off. Like, as much as you try, you can't switch it off. And it's not the child's fault.
It's not
the parent's fault. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just what it is. But I'm so surprised. The media here really wanted to stress the point that she was breastfeeding and he kicked her out.
That's not the
but in this, the no, in this day and age, people, like the media discount social media as, you know,
right,
less than, but people are like, no, because this woman was already causing a scene. The kid was already causing a scene before the show started.
Plus, you know,
she couldn't get the kid to settle.
When you're on stage in front of those lights, you can't see anything in the house.
Right.
You know?
And that's what he said.
The footlights is a blur.
Yeah. He said, he's like, I couldn't even see her. He goes, the breastfeeding thing wasn't even an issue.
Right.
And not only that, it was a 15 and up show. Like, they specifically said, like, 15 and older for the crowd. And what the fuck were you thinking bringing your baby? Like, you know, if I don't know how old the baby was, I don't read or get that information.
7 months old.
Find a goddamn babysitter. 7 months old? Okay, yeah, then it's time to let go and get a babysitter for, like, this 2 hours that you're going to be out of the house for this comedy show. Like, no comedy show lasts more than, what, an hour and a half, I would say, maybe 2 hours. You can find somebody. And if you can't, then give your ticket away to somebody else, because you should not have been there. I, as a breastfeeding mother, I can tell you, I didn't go anywhere where I knew it would either. I understand that it should be fine to do it in public, but I didn't do it where it would make me uncomfortable, other people uncomfortable. I kept that crap under wraps. If my baby was making noise, I picked myself and my baby up out of that situation, right, and I took myself out. You could have gotten yourself out of that situation before you were kicked out. You could have done a lot of things differently, but this bitch decided, fuck everybody, I'm going to come in here, and then I'm going to complain once I get kicked out because I'm going to make a scene. Like,
this is the interesting thing, because she was interviewed by one of the magazine. It says it's a hard hitting news. Like, it's called A Current Affair. It's one of those shows. It's like, it's not hard hitting journalism. But she is saying that, like, she felt embarrassed, that she didn't want to go in the first place, and that she bought the tickets.
She shouldn't have.
But they have records of her buying the tickets months ago. It's like, you know, this is, again, as I said, it's not it's not the kid's fault that the kid's crying, right? Right. This is squarely
your mom brought you there.
Yeah, this is someone being self-important and you know, I'm special, so my child's special. I want to do something. I'm going to do that regardless of what happens to anyone else. And
she probably drinks the fact like
the audience. The audience booed her. Like, obviously, your child and the situation that you have put your child in has upset enough people around you that they're now angry at you.
Yeah. Right?
Like,
what the fuck are you doing here?
Just don't go. You don't get to do everything you want. And the irony of the situation is...
Yeah. Do anything else besides a comedy show or a performance or something like that. You can't go to the movies.
In a theater.
Like, would you bring a newborn baby to the movies? No, because people would be crying or the baby would be crying. You would piss everybody else off. or you would get up and leave if that happened because you wouldn't want to disturb the movie. Why wouldn't this bitch get up and leave because you were disturbing the show? Like, common fucking sense is not so fucking common, and it's absolutely infuriating. I don't
think it's common sense. I think it's a lack of common courtesy and consideration for anyone else. Agree.
It's entitlement. Entitlement, too. Yeah. How old is this woman? I mean, she doesn't look like she's 22.
These days, people act like they're in their living room. They answer their phones during the movie. They play their TikToks during the movie. They talk to each other during the movie. It's like, and so the movie turns the volume up so everybody can hear, but then we walk out of the theater and we're all deaf.
The funniest thing was, so she did this interview to basically like, I was breastfeeding, blah, 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 blah. The whole interview, she couldn't get that kid to settle and had to pass it off to someone else.
The whole nobody cares if she was breastfeeding. Breastfeed all you fucking want, but don't do it at a comedy show.
The thing is, don't try and make someone else's self-importance about something else. Like, this woman was being greedy. This woman was being selfish. This woman was being self-centered. It wasn't about her being a mother. That was just part of it. You know?
And there are people, comics, comedians, I'm sorry, who have removed people from their audience because they're heckling them. Because they're doing something else. You know, like, there are reasons why you would get kicked out other than a crying baby, but you decided to bring your baby there. This is your decision. This is not your child's fault. This is your fault as a parent. Like, again, where the fuck was your brain being like, when you were putting that baby in the car seat, you were like, this is such a great idea. I can't wait to have so much fun. Like, you dumb fuck. Like, I just, to me, you are so stupid. I just, I don't know where you were. Again,
a house staff who let her bring the baby in spite of the fact
that it's
a 15 plus show.
Yeah.
I look at, do you guys ever watch Kathy Griffin's My Life on the D-List?
Yes.
That when that was on? Kathy had a very similar moment where Kathy Griffin famously is like, I don't like children. I don't want them in my audience. If there's kids here, fuck off. Like, take your kids, get them out. There's a scene in this in one of the seasons, in one of the episodes, where someone bought their 11 or 12-year-old. And then after the show, the parents brought the child up to Kathy for her to explain to them why she doesn't like children. How self-important are you that you think that you can do that a show where you're an audience member. You're paying to see that person. It's not your show.
Right.
So I'm so surprised that the majority, I think there was one comment that was like, how rude, I would never go to his show, I will never go to his show. The majority, and I think the tide of every child is sacred and must be, you know, looked after and concerned is turning.
This is not the kid's fault.
Finally.
You can't blame the kid for crying.
Right.
You can blame the mom for bringing him there. And again, it's not the baby's fault that he cried. Again, babies cry. We all know this. You can't shame a baby. You can shame the mom for bringing him there where he should not have been. It's just,
And that's why the title of the episode is what it is. Turns out no one cares about your baby because You know what? That's your baby. That's your baby. Yes. Ain't nobody else cares about it.
Right.
And the fact that it's the fact that you had a baby is not the problem. The main fact is you're a selfish asshole.
Right.
End of story. It's got nothing to do with the fact that you're a mother. So that might be how you define your life, because we all know people who are like, I'm a mother. I'm a mother. Like, you know what? There have been millions of it, baby. You are not special. You're not special. You're not special. You chose to have a baby. Here we go.
You chose to have a baby.
I had a woman tell me that in my 30s. That nothing I said mattered because I hadn't had any children. And until I had children, I couldn't understand the complexity of life.
Wow, yeah.
That's like, bullshit. I understand a bitch when I see one.
Yeah, exactly.
I negate that woman's argument, Vera, because I think you have a lot to say. And I think you get very heated when you do so.
Yeah, me
so
too.
It's that time. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, Vera, man. We're running long, but we got to when it's this time. It's time for Vera Events, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go. I'm ready. lots been going on this week, kids. You know, we had the guy set himself on fire in New York. We had Donald's trial started on Monday. And the Supreme Court is hearing the case of presidential immunity. And unfortunately, it started off just the way you would expect in this broken country. All of the progressives were on one side saying, all right, in the real sense, tell us why he deserves immunity for this. And all of the old world Dixiecrats were saying, well, you know, let's not talk in the real sense. Let's talk hypothetically, because they didn't want to discuss the actual criminality of what Mr. Trump did. So we couldn't discuss the January 6th insurrection and whether it was a crime to incite a coup. But what we need to realize in this country is that we have coups all the time. Every 4 years, we elect a new president. And believe it or not, Americans, that's a fucking coup. When another party takes control, it's a very orderly, it's a very democratic coup, but it is nonetheless the coup. It's not that he incited a coup. The problem is that he resorted to violence and he tried to obstruct the peaceful transition of power, which is the hallmark of this nation. It's not our freedoms. Plenty of nations have freedoms. England has freedom. Norway has freedom. You know, Japan has freedom. Lots of countries have freedom. And we all run around saying, America, land of the free. No. The thing that makes this country great has been the peaceful transition of power. And the problem with what happened on January 6th is it was designed to overturn one of the most brilliant hallmarks of our democracy. And now the Supreme Court looks like they're going to rule in favor of Donald Trump. Now, I'm not going to say that this is the only court that's ever been politicized. You know, we've had our problems in this country. We've had 200 years of problems. The pendulum has swung from conservative to liberal, from conservative to liberal. It always swings both ways, but it usually lands in the middle. And that's what I'm hoping for. The point where we can get to the middle, where we can all look at what happened on January 6th and say without hesitation, he didn't have to like the results, but he should have accepted them. I think for anybody who's like, well, what, you know, he was doing his job. He was doing his job. Take any question that was asked in that courtroom today and ask yourself, if Joe Biden had called people with arms to Washington, D.C. to contest an election, would he be covered by immunity? If Joe Biden had run a career military person out of office and obstructed his pension because he told the truth about a meeting with President Zelensky, would Joe Biden be able to get away with that? No. You know, if Joe Biden had said he wanted a photo op in front of a church So take fire hoses and spray all those protesters out of my way. Would Joe Biden have been able to get away with that? It's not partisan. It should never be partisan. No president has unlimited immunity. It's ridiculous. You know what? If they decide that the president does have unlimited immunity, I hope to God that Biden starts pulling some shit. That's my rant.
She's always got feeling, folks. That's why we love it. We are going long today, but I do have to mention that we do have some good news for a friend of the show, the lovely Miss Katie Underwood and her bandmate Belinda Chapel from Carmel have released their brand new single, One in a Million. It is out to stream today. They've also done their very first music video together, which for anyone that was a fan of their girl band days in Bardo, it's nice to see them back on there. But the girls are going hard. Katie's busy with sound healing and pop music and all kinds of good stuff. So, Katie, Belinda, we wish you the best of luck with your more music.
Come back and chat with us one of these days.
You never know. I'm trying to get both of them. So we're trying.
If we're promoting music, my husband just put out stuff on Spotify.
There you go.
It's great.
It's amazing. You did? Oh, thank you. He's under Joey Vegasi, so it's like Vegas and then SI, so Vegas SI. And
we'll get the artwork and everything up for next week, and we'll give him a bit of a plug. How's that sound?
Good idea. Perfect.
We love to support each other here on Station Radio. For those of us that are missing a certain blonde-headed, big-breasted friend of ours, on Tuesday, Miss Katrina A. Johnson will be back because we have the return, the long-awaited return of what had happened was. It has been a hot minute since we have done a show, but we did one today. And if you are in the dating world or have been in the dating world, let's just say you don't want to miss Tuesday's show. We have a lot of good stuff coming your way, guys. So please make sure that you are following us if you don't already on all the socials, because you never know where one's going to go away. As we are begging, please go to our YouTube, like us, subscribe us, share us, because if you enjoy us, we hope that one of your friends will. If you can just suggest us to one of your friends and they like us, then that's great. Obviously, Facebook is where we live, but we love to stretch it out. We're on Instagram. We're on X/Twitter. Thank you to everyone who has stuck with us for a whole show on X. I think we need to start live tweeting because the X people are staying strong at the moment. And of course, while TikTok's around, we are on TikTok at My Uncensored Radio. Thank you, Christina and Vera. Like, it's always these little shows where they go, oh, we're not going to have enough to talk about. We're going to have dead air, but
no,
we will never have dead air on this show.
We all got a lot to say.
Until next week, folks, stay uncensored and tell these bitches that it ain't their business. Bye, y'all. All right, we have to start to be careful because I am just watching the end of the show on Instagram because it usually says after an hour, Instagram will shut off. It doesn't. So some of our after show content is a little bit steamy. Yay. So if you've watched that, lucky you.
Wait, what?
Yes, that's all I'm going to say. Goodbye, everyone.